renting for dealership.
Do all of you remember, of course, I'm sure you all do, what it means to walk in the Spirit?
Looking through my card file in my...
I was there yesterday.
Really? Invitation to get shut.
Walk in the Spirit.
As opposed to walking in, okay.
Not judged by your senses.
It's got to be more than just impulsively.
The ancient writers regarding the gospel said this incredible thing that the resurrection of Christ has permitted you to live as though you had already crossed the bridge into a quote-unquote future age, and that you respond to life as though you were already in that state. And that's what it means to be a believer. As opposed to walking in the flesh, in which you just walk like everybody else does. You run around and have little stuff come at you, and you pay attention to it, give it breath, and try to do stuff about it and all that. To walk in the Spirit means that you're walking as a result of what the Spirit has done. Now, it's not a cosmic trick. It's not some little trick that you do. It's the reality of what the resurrection is. Let's go to Romans 8. These are two quotes about that state of being. The apostles speak of themselves and their generation as living in the frontier of two ages. The gospel, as it were, is transferring them across the border. Another early writer said, Jesus gave himself to blot out sin. He created the situation in which we, in anticipation of the future eon, are freed from the present age totally, and are already living in that future age. The Christ event and the sacrifice that bore away the sin of the world and the resurrection and the subsequent resurrection caused the future age to break in upon us now. You remember when we studied the stars, that the coma constellation, or the decan of the constellation Virgo, is called the desired of the nations. Now, the only enemy of that position is a mind that says wicked works are necessary in order to accomplish it, in order to live there, in order to do these things. Your mind says whatever your desire is of the future, or of the whatever, like New Mexico or California or whatever, or you know, some ridiculous romanticized phenomenon, you already are there. Am I communicating? Now, if you sow to that spirit, you will love the spirit, reap life. If you sow to corruption or the flesh, you will love that flesh, reap corruption. The biggest phenomena that is the evidence of reaping corruption is what you call, or we call, our moods. We have sown to the flesh And so, because of that, we reap the corruption of the flesh, and the evidence of the corruption manifests itself in a state of emotional non-well-being. And so you you're walking just like the Gentiles walk. Let's go to Rome. I say a lot of times that things like you can't go swimming until you get in the pool, and I've talked to you a lot about the human race is just God's sperm cells. But it's like a there's a mystical barrier. On one side of the barrier, the things that take place as a result of or the result of God's activity is only to tear down. On the other side of that barrier, the things that take place are only to edify, to build up. The idea that you enter that place is it's the mystical, it's the holy of holies, it's the hymen,
it's the barrier.
Well, you have to somehow get through that barrier. Otherwise, you know, we're studying the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, everything the Holy Spirit is on that he's doing on the other side of this barrier is it looks like, you know, just fate, confusion, chaos.
So on the tear down, especially tear down the flesh side of the barrier, you know, that's where most of us live all the time, and we just say, my life's got to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. This is like as far as like a wall and climbing back and forth over the wall instead of going through the wall.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right. On one side of the barrier, everything is of God, but on one side of the barrier, the work is, it seems to be just, yeah, I don't, it's like the work seems to be, fate is the only word I can think of. It's just the vagaries of fate. I mean, there's no order, there's no, it's just depend. It's the survival of the fittest and all that kind of stuff. On the other side of the border, there is life and peace. Now, it seems to me that after you've gone through enough this side of the border stuff, that you'd say, okay, it's stupid to stay over there. And the only time you will say it's stupid to stay over there is when you believe it's stupid to stay over there. In other words, if you think there is something over there that you can get or that you need, then by definition you'll stay over there. On the other side of the border is faith, life, peace, joy. Doesn't matter what the external circumstances are, it's a life that, you know, it's totally indescribable. Except for the fact that it's that the Holy Spirit is doing the stuff that you would hope the Holy Spirit does. I mean, he does good stuff. On this side of the barrier, he does bad stuff. He messes up your playground. He takes dumps in your oatmeal. He does everything. He totally messes up your relationships with people, with loved ones. He totally and completely appears from every evidence to be your mortal enemy. On the other side of the border, there is only and always love, peace, and joy. It has nothing to do with arriving anywhere. It has nothing to do with... It has to do with simply seeing. Now, you know, that's why, I mean, I'm so hard on you with regard to giving breath to things, like somebody's death, or like, you know, imagery that you and I have talked about, or that, you know, any of your other crap. Romance. Because I know that if you stay in that arena, you then will, of that flesh, reap only corruption.
Yeah, it's like each one of those things is just a chain. It's like a shackle.
Everything on that side of the border, or the horizon, is...
Which side? The yucky side or the good side?
Towards the left. Everything towards the left is always away from God. Everything towards the right is towards God.
I can't believe that. Everything on the left is...
Left is always away from God. Right, that's the, when you read the scriptures, you'll never understand half the stuff in there.
But it makes no sense.
Now you really understand.
Facing the paper.
Harry's left-handed. So am I.
What's that mean?
Well, it always says any right, I always say.
Well, that's obvious.
Beautiful. Everything on the flesh side.
There has to come a recognition that everything... on this side is, you know, all these cliché words, vanity, death, leads to destruction, leads to condemnation, leads to all of the bad stuff. Everything on this side not, doesn't lead to is life. I mean, that's what it means. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. You,
is that what it means to go in and out of the sheeple?
Yes. Now, I promise you there is absolutely nothing over here. Nothing. There's no pleasure in relationships, there's no satisfaction in accomplishment, there's no nothing. There's only death. There's only vanity. There's only ridiculousness. There's only really stupidity. There's only ignorance. Now, everything that you're trying to do that you have, that has the passage of time as its component, is the evidence that you're over in the wrong side of the game. I mean, now some of you are so sneaky that, you know, you never really let anybody know what your real agenda is. Your real agenda is 100% over here. But you believe, like, you know, these guys that are in sports, that there really isn't just 100%, there's 110%. And so the imaginary 10% of your activity in your mind is over in what you think is the good stuff. I am sick unto death of your agendas. And first of all, because I already know them. And it's stupid of you to continue with those agendas and hang around me. It's just absolutely asinine. There is no thing on that side of the wall. Well, but I'm being sincere, so therefore I think you should be nice to me only. You're not dumb enough to say that, but that's what you expect. The celebration of Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of the destruction of that agenda, because Christ is made flesh. All the activities of your mind that you stay in and live in, the carnal mind is enmity against God. That means it's its mortal enemy. It is not subject to God, it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. But if in your private time, your secret lives, your closets, you continue to sow to that flesh, you will die shortly. And you will die from our perspective, because you will leave here. And it will be as though you never existed. Nobody will mourn for you. It'll be like all the other people in your life who've come into your frame of reference for a moment, and now it's as though they never existed. Unless you begin to live in what you have seen, you will leave. And I don't need to kick you out. The Holy Spirit will kick you out. It's like there's an incredible, exciting drama that promises that everything and every dream and every hope and ambition of your life will be fulfilled. And it's all done where all you have to do is sort of hang around. And it's on one side of the curtain. And on this side of the curtain is all of your little private activities. All of your second and third and 15th agendas. It's like, in another analogy or metaphor, it's like you're in the birth canal, or in the womb, or in the vagina of a woman, you're a sperm cell, and you haven't reached the egg, but you're standing out here, and you think you know something about the egg. You've spent a lot of time studying it, and so you know you're here trying to build the kingdom or anything outside of the egg. And you have reasonable successes because you happen to be a sperm cell that can think and do stuff. And then all of a sudden, once a month, there comes this rush from the Holy Spirit that totally and completely wipes you out with all kinds of icky stuff. The only time that the Holy Spirit is working as we think about Him working is inside the egg. And if you've got inside the egg, then you've lost your identity. You've lost totally the right to yourself. You've lost the thought processes that define you. You've lost the capacity to think, oh, praise God, I saw something today. Or I didn't see something. Because you are in the state of being that you think you desire to be in without any effort on your part, without even thinking about it. Am I communicating? I don't want you to stop talking, but I want you to understand there is no viability, there's no life in prophesying and talking about stuff unless it leads to repentance. Because repentance is getting inside the egg. But to get inside the egg means that you've lost the right to yourself. In fact, you've lost the capacity to have a right to yourself. Everything in life proves this. every animal, every mammal, every tree, every seed, except the kernel of wheat, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There has to come a time. You know, I've talked to you about the idea that the three graces that God has given us to see him, this, the grace of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. You know, I can sit back and say, okay, I understand, because the dominant grace in you is the grace of Abraham, and it's going to take you 100 years to see any goddamn thing anyway. I don't like that. And I'm not the one to have a bunch of Abrahams around me. There's probably another rabbi over in somewhere else that desires that long-suffering patience vis-a-vis the people that are under his discipleship. That's not me. And I'm that way without apology. I didn't decide to be that way. But I am so sick and tired of your agendas. You're wasting my time, you're wasting God's time, and you're certainly being stupid for hanging around here and getting bloodied 2 or 3 times a week. Just leave. I'm tired of you giving breath to the carnal mind. I'm tired of you sitting around and talking about death, or the things that are death, or that lead to death. And I'm really tired of you putting God's name on death. There's no good thing in you save Christ. Your thoughts and your words can never have anything to do with God until they have everything to do with God. The mystery is, when you've lost the right to yourself, then everything has to do with God. When you've lost the I motive in your life, then everything is God. But you bring into the camp all these sophomoric ideas, and it's like you've got this, the longer we go, it's the longer the cart rope. And you've been dragging this shit and this cart with this rope that went all the way back to Egypt. Even if you take a piece of string and it's long enough, you won't be able to pull it. You understand that law of physics? Take whatever the weight of it is, but if you take obviously you take a little rope, and you've got a rope that you're tied around your waist, and you're walking. Except the head, just pretend that the rope, every step you take, the rope gets that longer. Well, in a very short time, even if the thing that you had on the other end of the rope was perfectly balanced and perfectly in a little cart with perfectly balanced wheels, you wouldn't be able to drag it, because the weight of the rope itself will keep you from moving. You sin, as it were, with a cart rope. And you do it without any recognition that you're walking in stupidity. And you just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over. And so this, but what the secret you don't understand is the cart rope is already too long and too heavy for you to carry, so all you're doing, you're not going any fucking where, you're just standing in one place, moving your feet up and down, and wondering why your feet are tired and your waist hurts. Forsake your thoughts and your ways. Neglect, forget those things that are behind. All of them. Cast down the imaginations and all those high places that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You really understand that your mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God? Can you understand that for a minute? That it's not only irredeemable, that it thinks God is its worst enemy, and it's God's worst enemy. Well, I'm not thinking carnal thoughts, I'm thinking God thoughts. Then you've lost the right to yourself, so quit complaining. It's like, it's like the boss man has come out and he said, you're out in this field digging with the shovels. You're digging a hole here and pulling the dirt up, and you're putting all the whole dirt back in the hole. You do it over and over and over and over and over and over. And then the boss man has come out and says, hey, you don't have to do that anymore. And you say, oh, but I like it. That's what you were doing in your mind. Over and over and over and over and over. Why? Well, in the spirit, it's because you haven't understood the feast of Rosh Hashanah. You haven't understood that Christ is your life. You haven't understood that now it's all Him. Not someday going to be Him. Do you truly understand what it means to lose the right to yourself?
Most of the manifestations of losing the right to yourself are not public.
and very private, and very every once in a while a public manifestation of it has to come around, and that really pisses you off. But most of it is all here in the thought processes. It's what you do in the alone times. It's how you, it's all of these crazy, someday I'm going to New Mexico ideas. Someday I'm going to have a mate. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to do that. Takes that long to get to the through the curtain. I mean, it's instant because the way has been made. The veil of the flesh has been rent or torn so that the access is instantaneous. You can come boldly before the throne of grace instantly, at this instant. You know, and then every once in a while you go in and out. Every time you go out, you get in trouble. And so over time, you stop putting your hand in the fire. Either this is true, or you're wasting your time. This is a stupid place to be. It really is. It's big time stupid. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, Romans 8:5. But they that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. To mind is to give breath to or pay attention to. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's something attainable, it's something automatic. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live after the flesh. You don't owe the flesh anything. But if your thoughts continue as though you owed the flesh, then there can be no life. You understand that?
When you say, oh, the flesh,
that you...
Maybe can you explain that?
No. I want you to find out what it means. Ephesians 1:15 through 23 is the prayer that we've talked about 100 times, but it's that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, etc., etc., etc. It's all him. It takes you out of the picture. And then he says, and you, chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Back in Genesis, God said, if you ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that in dying you will surely die. And that's not a metaphorical expression. It's not, it's an eternal fact. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult you know, no matter what your circumstance, you have to recognize that you died on the cross. You're dead, you're gone, you're history, you're goodbye. But there is an evil one who has resurrected himself from a deadly head wound that is residing in your temple. And all your life you've gone under the assumption that was you. Never has been you. It always has been the evil one. You think you can finally come to that understanding? All you've done to date is you've done the will of your father, the devil. Anytime you start the process of thinking about that which is perceived by the senses, all your little dreams and hopes and all that bullshit, you know that it is not you that is doing it, but the sin that dwelleth in you, or the evil one that dwelleth in you. Okay? You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Your walking, your activity has been according to the, after the course of the prince of the power of the air. Among whom also we had our conversation, manner of life in times past, and the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You're playing the wrong game. You're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. Now go to Colossians. 1, chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now what is this guy? It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now, yet now hath he reconciled. Your enemies in your mind. Or it should say, by the wicked one's works, instead of by wicked works. There is no thought process that you can have that requires the passage of time that isn't sowing to the flesh. And I would beg of you that you would begin to hear that. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing, or it should be properly translated place, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The biggest thing that you lack is the revenge factor. You know the words. You know the mystery. You know what the ball game is. The only thing you lack is the killer instinct. Now, I don't lack the killer instinct, externally or internally. But I, in a very real sense, the only purpose of discipleship is for you to develop the killer instinct for revenge. But not external, internal. Instead of the sloppiness that constitutes most of your thinking, it's the instant obedience to the revenge. If your thought processes aren't at that point of the end of the spirit. So you permit, in the name of tolerance, internal insurrection. Now, there's a whole lot of places you could go where they not only permit insurrection, they teach you how to do it. They teach you all the how-tos. You don't want to do that anymore.
Here's the thing I wrestle with in this situation. Where I run to and where confusion enters. I don't know how to describe it exactly. It's like I want to see like there's a wall there past which I can see no thing. I mean, like I can be brought to the point I can agree EDC, sloppiness, vanity, confusion, self-interest, all those things, and I can see all that. Then on the other side of that, you know, to get over that or through it, I have nothing or no.
Well, again, I keep referring to the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, but on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, one of the things that happens is you read the 47th Psalms 7 times. And the reason you read the 47th Psalm 7 times is it's the celebration of the destruction of that wall of flesh. So that you can, at that point, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh, either in thought or in action. The Feast of Rosh Hashanah is the celebration of the birth of Christ, visibly into your world. So you're no longer just pregnant. You got all these misshapen lumps coming off you. Okay?
What I really heard tonight for the first time was the thing about the evil one hiding in your temple. And you've always thought it's you, but it's not you. It's the evil one hiding in the temple. This thing about coming to the wall and this thing about obedience and disobedience and revenging disobedience, I'd be willing to bet that your mind works like my mind works. And the way my mind works is when I'm tiptoeing and dancing in this stuff, there comes a point in time when I sense, hear, see, know what's happening. And that's the point in time where I have not revenge. I've not killed it. I've not commanded my soul. I've not done this. I'd be willing to bet the same thing happens in you. I know it happens in me. There's a moment when at which I can revenge it or sort of slough it off or, well, that's not really what's going on, and let it continue.
Yeah.
But the difference is knowing that that's the evil one hiding in the temple, not me.
Well, what you do is the same thing that we talked about. What you do externally, and it's like, part of the reason that you don't confront it is because you don't believe God is there and you believe that you're more powerful than God. And so you don't confront this point, because if you did confront it in a very kind of a weird sense, you think you could best God. because you really don't believe in God. You just have a hope you might believe in Him. And so therefore there's the fact of it's an act of unbelief, but in a more realized sense, it's an act of cowardice. It's an internal act. You understand that?
Yes.
You understand it? Because you'd rather go back to that which is safe, relatively safe, even if it's uncomfortable, it's familiar. As opposed to, I'm thinking of Lee. Every time Lee knows better 10,000 times where, she knows that the act of walking away and hiding when her feelings are hurt, or somebody's talking about relationships, or 1,000 other excuses, is stupid.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly involuntary at the time.
No, it's not. It's an act. It's a volatile act of cowardice.
Yeah, because you know it to stay.
What do you
see? The explosion.
Volitional.
Yeah, but it's also volatile.
Yeah, it's like a thing that you avoid, or you try to avoid by leaving.
Running away.
Eventually, you have to deal with it.
Explains itself.
Yes. Well, it's quitting in your mind.
Yeah, I just slipped to another place in time.
Oh.
Yeah, everybody's
got it. That wasn't for your head.
They got